All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ready for another deep dive today?
Yeah, always.
This one is it's a case that really, I think, has some interesting things for people who are maybe pill looking at advertising or thinking about intellectual property.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of a household name case. Group SEB USA Inc. v. EuroPro Operating LLC.
Okay.
So you probably know Rowenta. They make steam irons.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And Shark, also like super common household name.
Yeah, they've really made a name for themselves.
Yeah, and this was basically a fight over who could claim to have the most powerful steam
Oh, wow. So it's
on their iron.
head to head.
Yeah,
That's
so
great.
head to
So,
head.
like, on the surface, it just seems like marketing,
Yeah.
right? Like one brand saying they're better than the other.
Right.
But this case is so interesting because it really gets into the weeds of advertising law.
Yeah.
And specifically, what happens when a company makes a very specific claim that can be measured,
Right.
and then it turns out
Yeah.
maybe that claim isn't quite true.
And they get called on it.
Exactly.
Like,
And so it's a really good example of how advertisers have to be accountable
yeah.
for the claims that they make.
Yeah. So EuroPro makes shark irons, and they were making some pretty bold claims about their steam being more powerful than Rowenta.
Okay.
What exactly were they saying?
Well, so they were saying things like more powerful steam versus Rowenta,
Okay.
which,
That's
is
straightforward.
yeah, I mean it's a bold claim for sure.
Yeah.
They even had claims like hashtag one most powerful steam.
Oh, wow.
But here's the thing,
Yeah.
they actually included footnotes on their packaging
Okay.
that defined exactly what they meant by steam power.
Interesting.
So they didn't just say like stronger steam. They actually specified it in terms of grams per shot of steam or grams per minute of steam.
Okay, so they put a very specific measurement on
Exact.
it, like a scientific measurement.
Exactly. They wanted to make it clear
Oh,
you
that's,
know what they were talking about.
yeah.
So that's a really crucial detail because, it makes it much easier to challenge the claim
Right,
because
exactly.
it's very specific.
Right.
So yeah, that's where the trouble started for them
Yeah.
because that specificity allowed for a legal challenge.
Of course. So SEB, the makers of Rowenta, what did they do? Did they fire back with their own marketing campaign or?
No,
Yeah.
they didn't just try to, outmarket them or anything. They went a different route.
Okay.
So, they actually did their own tests,
Okay.
comparing the Rowenta irons to the Shark irons,
Okay.
and they even hired an independent lab to do testing as well.
Oh, wow.
And they're saying, based on all this testing, that our Rowenta irons perform either the same or better.
Than the shark irons, even when
Exactly.
measured against EuroPro's definition of steam power.
So
Yeah.
this is where it starts to get interesting.
Yeah. So you have one company saying one thing, you have another company
With data
coming back what they say.
saying, no, that's not true.
So what happened when SEB took them to court?
Well, so Seb Su sued EuroPro for false advertising,
Okay.
and they sought a preliminary injunction.
Yeah.
Now, for the law students out there, a preliminary injunction is an emergency order from the court
Right.
to stop the harmful activity while the case is going on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So basically saying you can't keep making these claims
Yeah.
while we're figuring out whether they're true or not.
Gotcha.
So the district court actually sided with Rowenta and granted that preliminary injunction,
Oh, wow.
meaning that EuroPro had to start covering up their claims.
So even before the case is decided,
Yes, exactly.
they have to change their packaging.
They had to put stickers on their boxes and
Yeah.
remove hang tags.
That's
Yeah,
huge.
it's pretty big.
So that's a pretty significant initial victory for Rowenta.
Exactly.
But I mean, I imagine this didn't end there.
Of course not. It's just the first step.
Yeah.
So
Did EuroPro appeal?
EuroPro appealed the district court's decision
Okay.
to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, so now it's at the appellate level.
Exactly.
So what were some of the key questions that
Yeah.
EuroPro raised in their appeal?
So one of the big things that they argued was whether the district court was right in finding that their claims were unambiguous.
Right.
They were probably saying, look, our claims could be interpreted in different ways.
Right.
They're not as clear-cut as SEB's is arguing.
Right.
But the Third Circuit wasn't convinced.
Yeah.
They upheld the district court's decision
Okay.
and said, EuroPro, you define these terms.
Yeah.
You can't now say that they're ambiguous.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a really important takeaway here, right?
Yeah.
When a company specifically defines a term in their advertising, they're going to be held to that definition.
It makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't define something in a really specific way. And then when you get sued, you say, oh, no, I didn't mean that.
No, I meant this other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you defined it. That's what it means.
So with those claims being unambiguous, what was the next step for SB?
Well, so then the question became, has S actually shown that they're likely to succeed on their false advertising claim?
Right.
And as you know, under the Lanham Act.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the big kahuna of federal advertising law.
Gotcha.
You usually have to prove that a claim is either literally false.
Okay.
Or that it's misleading to consumers.
Right.
And in this case, because the court had already said, hey, those claims are unambiguous, the focus really shifted to proving literal falsity.
Gotcha.
So did they actually lie about these numbers?
So how did SB try to do that?
Well, that's where the tests come in.
Right.
Remember, they had done their own internal testing.
Yeah.
And they'd also hired an independent lab.
Yeah.
So they presented all of that scientific evidence to the court. And the Third Circuit agreed with the lower court.
Yeah.
That data was enough to show that the claims were literally false.
Okay. So it really does go back to...
It all comes down to the data.
Yeah. If you're going to make a specific claim, you better have the data to back it up.
Yeah. You got to be able to back it up.
Yeah. So we have the definition. And then we have the data proving that the definition is false.
Exactly.
What else did SEB have to show to keep that injunction in place, though?
Well, so the other big thing that you have to show to get a preliminary injunction is that the plaintiff, so in this case SEB, would likely suffer something called irreparable harm.
Okay.
If the injunction wasn't granted.
Right.
EuroPro was probably arguing, look, any harm that they're suffering can just be paid back with money later on.
Right.
You know, it's not irreparable. It's just financial.
It's just money.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did the court say about that?
Well, the court found that. SAF had shown a likelihood of irreparable harm.
Okay.
And their reasoning was that. These false claims, you know, saying the shark was better.
Right.
Posed a risk to Rowenta's brand reputation and the goodwill that they had built up.
Right.
You know, it's tough to measure lost sales at this stage. But damage to reputation, that's really hard to quantify.
Right.
Especially in such a competitive market.
Yeah. I mean, if people start thinking that one brand is better, that's really hard to come back from.
Right. And even if you win the case.
Yeah.
And you get money later.
Right.
Your reputation might already be damaged.
Right. EuroPro also brought up the First Amendment, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a big one.
Yeah, and said that the injunction violated their free speech. How did the court handle that argument?
Well, so, you know, as we've talked about before, commercial speech does have some First Amendment protection.
Right.
But that protection doesn't cover false or misleading advertising.
Right.
So in this case, the court had already decided that these claims were likely false.
Right.
This is, you know, EuroPro. This is not protected speech.
Right.
You don't have a right to lie about your product.
Yeah.
And then they also said, look, this injunction, it's really narrow. It's just about these specific claims.
Right.
It's not stopping you from advertising your product at all. It's just saying you got to stop making these specific claims.
Right. So you can say all the other things you want about your product. You just can't say that it has more powerful steam.
Exactly.
Than Rowenta. So what are the big takeaways from this?
All right. So one of the biggest takeaways is that companies are going to be held accountable for how they define the terms they use in their advertising.
Right.
And especially if you define it in your packaging.
Yeah.
Like in a footnote or something.
Yeah.
You're stuck with that definition.
You can't just change your mind later.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So you got to be really careful about the language you use in advertising.
And the data that you use.
Exactly.
Right. If you make a claim, you better have the data.
You better have the receipts.
Yes.
To back it up.
All right. What other takeaways were there?
So another really important takeaway is that if you're claim is found to be literally false, like in this case, you can't then just go and do a consumer survey and say, oh, well, consumers think it means something else.
Right.
You know, you defined it.
Yeah.
The court's not going to care.
The court's going to say, no, you defined it. Yeah. That's what it means.
Exactly.
So what about the idea of irreparable harm?
Oh, yeah. That's another big one.
Yeah. What?
So in this case, the court basically said that when you have false advertising, especially the kind that could damage a brand's reputation, you don't need to have tons of sales data to prove that there's harm.
Gotcha.
You know, it's pretty obvious that if someone's lying about your product, that's going to hurt your brand.
Yeah.
And that harm is really hard to repair.
Well, right. And I remember there were a couple of quotes that I thought were really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
One was, When a product's packaging includes an advertising claim and unambiguously defines a claim term, the packaging's definition applies.
That's a good one.
Yeah, like that's the whole ball game right there.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, EuroPro cannot use a consumer survey to create an ambiguity where none exists.
Mm.
Like you said, like mic drop moment.
Right, case closed.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think are the biggest things that law students should take away from this?
Well, so I think, you know, this case really shows how important it is to be careful with language in advertising.
Yeah.
Got to be precise. You got to be truthful. And you got to have evidence to back up any claims that you're making.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, this case gives a great example of how advertising law interacts with the First Amendment.
Right.
You know, it shows the limits of free speech when it comes to commercial speech.
Right.
You can't just lie about your products.
Right.
Even if you think it's good marketing.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a case worth studying.
So, yeah, I mean, this case really shows that even if it seems like a simple marketing claim, it can have really complex legal consequences.
Exactly. It can get messy.
Yeah. And big implications for how companies communicate with their consumers and how they compete with each other.
It's a good reminder for everyone to be honest and play by the rules.
And I guess it also makes you think about how companies going to define features of their products moving forward.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. This case is definitely going to make companies think twice about how they word their claims.
Yeah. Are we going to see even more of these footnotes, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Like really specific definitions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we going to see that more?
And maybe we'll start to see like a glossary at the bottom.
Yeah. Right.
Of every advertisement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just defining every single term.
Yeah. And then I guess it makes you think about the ethical implications.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For advertisers, right?
You know what's the right thing to do?
Yeah.
Even if it's not legally required.
Yeah. Lots to think about.
Definitely.
So thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
Great case.
Definitely gave me some new things to think about. When I see those versus claims.
Oh, yeah, those are everywhere.
Yeah, and they are everywhere. All right. Until next time.
See you then.